sorry, I could have said, but I'm glad. Now you know we wanted to do that. I would like to start tonight with the hymn in the Gather Book, number 523, World Peace Prayer. 523. Here in front of all these people. Please let my words and thoughts make some sense and have some purpose. And may the path be made clear, or at least a little bit clearer, towards our salvation in you. Amen. Amen. If I had to give a title to this little Vespers talk, I guess it would be Salvation for the World. Or I guess more likely, Salvation for McDonald's. Yes, McDonald's, the fast food hamburger chain that has spread all over the world. Is it because I'm craving a Big Mac or a McChicken or a McShake or a McFry? Maybe. but not quite. McDonald's has been on my mind since I did the new villager orientation on Sunday. Afterwards, I chatted with Mac Gimsey about showing some of his sculpture pieces later this week. He said something about them being a little out there, like one that was made with the McDonald's arches. So since then, McDonald's has been sticking in my mind. And I was anxious to see this sculpture. Today I did. It was on the dining hall table. And it was very moving. And in a minute, I'll ask Mac to come and explain the sculpture. But first, I want to think about McDonald's. I'm sure, especially since this is Holden, there are plenty of opinions about McDonald's. Some of us here probably eat there all the time. Not a big deal. It's a good deal. Happy meals, man. They're happy. Some of us probably don't quite appreciate the franchise, who has gone all over the world and may have questionable ethics. Its mere existence caused a need to produce meat in quantities that may not be kind or ethical to animals. Not free-range cattle or chickens, to be sure. I've known people who have boycotted McDonald's, and their children, 15 years old and beyond, have never even set foot in a McDonald's. I also remember my little brother, about 4 years old, watching for the golden arches on the way to Grandma's house. So there's lots of opinions about McDonald's. But if we could take a moment and let Mac come and talk about his sculpture, then we'll get back.
Stephanie, am I the Big Mac you've been waiting for? That ought to be worth a hug later. Peace be with you. Okay, let's do it again and you say it louder back. Peace be with you. In good Lutheran tradition, there's something wrong with this mic.
And also with you.
Someone saw that coming.
I tell everybody, everywhere I go, I'm
loved. Oh, yeah, okay. Never fails. Okay, that's good. Well, how nice of Stephanie to ask me to say a few words, because I'm a teacher at St. Olaf College, and I have been since 1970, and I'm not used to a few words. But in the meantime, I'm accompanied by 24 other parishioners from Bethel Lutheran Church in Northfield, and they know how to get me away from the podium if you need that exercise. No, I really am happy to be here. Now, Jackie and I have not taken a road trip since 1965 in the United States, and we have a niece living in Deer Lodge, Montana, between Butte and Missoula. And she really wanted us to visit her and had not for a long time. And she said, "Papa, please bring some sculpture along because JT and I really want to see what you've been doing all these years." And her son and his wife had just been to visit us shortly before. So we loaded things in the van and it got really heavy and just to try it out. And then I talked to Pam Santier, our general in charge, and said, "Well, if I've got it in the van, should I just bring something to Holden?" "Oh, by all means." And then Stephanie was very kind about saying, "Well, put it out, let people see it." And then now tomorrow morning at 10:50, if I'm awake, we'll have a session, okay, after I get done hugging Stephanie. But anyway, some of you have seen the piece already, and it's called Abrahamburger. And Abraham is standing under the golden arches about to make a Big Mac out of Isaac. You all catch that? Okay, yeah. And I have only presented this a few times, and usually I wait for people to leave because they're not sure they want to hear the rest of it. And it says right on here, McDonald's Massacre. And the reason that I did this, it basically is a response to 9/11. And I am producing this in a larger version, 4 feet high, using the St. Louis Arch twice, because the St. Louis Arch is still standing. Now, Abraham had a mitigating voice. There's a parent bird, and when I left home, there was a child bird here, but it disappeared somewhere between here and Minnesota. But you can imagine that it's still here. And they're saying, Abraham, you do not need to do this. In all these years before 9/11, I've been really wondering about Kierkegaard and the sickness unto death, and Abraham and Isaac and Sarah. That whole mix didn't make a lot of sense to me. However, there is the ram on the backside waiting to be sacrificed, and the fact is that Abraham had a mitigating voice. The terrorist pilots had no mitigating voice. Our daughter at the time lived in McLean, Virginia, and the airplane that plowed into the Pentagon went right over her home. So for all of the fear, the mitigating voice is something that we need as Christians to be part of. You do not have to be a suicide bomber. Now, this stems from something that came from 1984 in San Ysidro, California, when James Huberty left his wife and daughter, kissed them goodbye, walked into a McDonald's, shot 21 people dead, wounded 15, and blew his own brains out. James Huberty had no mitigating voice. So, I will pass this around. It's wax. It's not bronze. Bronze was too heavy to carry. Don't worry if your fingers get a little sticky, but really press on it and feel where I felt, because my fingers made this, and you can contribute to this, and when I get home, I'll cast it in bronze and see if you can get your... Or you can bite it. It doesn't taste all that good. Peace be with you.
That's being passed around. I would have probably written the Vespers about a mitigating voice, but I didn't know the complete story, so I have a little different slant. But those are really tough things to think about, what Mac was bringing up. And I guess I would like to reread a verse that we just sang, or tried to sing, from the World Peace Prayer. It happens to be the first verse, which we were still struggling with, so it'll be okay to hear it. Lead us from death to life, from falsehood to truth, from despair to hope, from fear to trust. Lead us from hate to love, from war to peace. Let peace fill our hearts. Let peace fill our world. Let peace fill our universe. Still all the angry cries, still all the angry guns. Still now your people die, Earth's sons and daughters. Let justice roll, let mercy pour down. Come and teach us your way of compassion. So, amen to that. I would love to go on to talk about how that little voice is speaking to us and how we can hear it, and how God's loving embrace is so wide that even those who have committed terrible, terrible crimes are included in God's embrace, which is really hard for us to hear. But according to what I'm studying in my faith, that is true. But because I didn't write about that, I'm going to talk about one other word, and that is the word salvation. How many people have opinions about this word, like McDonald's? How many opinions when I said my opening prayer? It was, may the path be made clear, or at least a bit clearer, towards our salvation in you. Did some people kind of have some opinions about me saying that? I know that I didn't really want to use that word. It's turned me off in the past. Maybe like McDonald's, people have opinions. Like the word salvation is great. It's a happy meal. Or maybe for some people, it's a thorn. It's a cause for critique of religions. Who's in, who's out? What's the proper way to be saved? In a Bible study with Dan Erlander, yes, believe it or not, his name comes up again. Elizabeth has mentioned his name in the Bible studies. Great guy, he's written lots of books. Check him out in the bookstore. Well, in one of his Bible studies, he took my world and spun it around, and he's done that a few times. He said that the root meaning of the word salvation is spaciousness. Sort of, he said, if someone asks you if you have been saved, that you could answer, yes, I'm spacious. And that really twisted things for me. So when it is said that in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus there is salvation, it's like saying in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus there is spaciousness. And according to Lutheran tradition, this is a gift. There's not a price tag on it for us to pay or a list of to-dos to make it so, nor is there a way to wrap our human intellect around it. So is there spaciousness enough to hold the whole world? I believe yes. Love your neighbor, pray for your enemy? Yes. Why? Because it's a rule? Because it says so? No. I think it's because it gives you spaciousness. And God loves you and wants you to have spaciousness. Here we go, more random. This morning I was chatting with Steve Kramer, the tall guy who left today. It was early in the morning, and Steve and Janice and I were the only ones in the dining hall for a bit. And somehow we got onto the topic of what people believe. He was talking about the tension between what people really believe and what they think they should believe, and that tension causing them a lot of stress or a lot of inability to be. And he said, he was talking about if you can just let your belief be what it is, the good, bad, and the ugly, you're more free to be, just be who you are. Then I was talking with Cliff Hall the other day about people facing death and how you can tell what they believe by how they act. That many may confess to have certain beliefs, but their actions and fears point otherwise. It's just something to think about. Just be who you are and believe what you believe. Here in this place, there's spaciousness. At least we try. Being human, we naturally have exclusive tendencies. But hey, eat at McDonald's or don't eat at McDonald's. Love the word salvation or be kind of turned off by the word salvation. All are welcome. Now, is there a chance that this Jesus is an answer to world peace? I, the idealist, think so. And is there any chance that Jesus eats at McDonald's? I think so as well. And so moving back into the theme of McDonald's, I have a poem from Maran Tirabassi. It is called, if I can find it, Christmas Eve at the Epsom Circle McDonald's. Now this is a McDonald's in a certain location. Epsom Circle is the name of the street. Christmas Eve. The kids with the Santa hats are selling hamburgers more cheerfully because they feel the season and they are glad for early closing. A boyfriend comes in and hangs over the counter, pressing against tattered garland looped to the finger level of children. A family with three toddlers, jazzy with excitement, are traveling to Maine in the drizzle of the holy evening. The littlest boy, in red and green plaid, Oshkosh, runs in circles, strangling French fries in his hand. Tired of the car and already eager for presents and bed, his little sneakers tramp like angel feet. An older couple, in a corner talk quietly about their daughter who's been dead 4 Christmases now. They could have gone to their son-in-law's house. His kind new wife invited them with her family, but it didn't seem right. And this wasn't the very brightest place, or this was the very brightest place. It looked like a star when they drove down the highway. And they knew there would be children here. A divorced dad with Budweiser on a black t-shirt jokes with his 6-year-old daughter over milkshakes. A clumsily wrapped present perches on the molded plastic seat. He's trying to make the very best treat he can of their Christmas hour before bringing her back to her mom's house. Brown eyes shine at him, and he thinks she's excited for later, for Santa and all. But she's looking at him all over, memorizing the gift. The preacher is on her way to church to remember Bethlehem out loud. For the folks who come to break bread and light little candles with paper circles on them to keep the wax from dripping on their hands as they sing Silent Night. Most of them have heard the story about the child before, and so has she. She has come here first just to sit a while and watch the Christmas Eve communion. So, on the Christmas theme, I would like to close with hymn number 265.